Vedanta teacher James Swartz on Bhagavad Gita. An audio workshop brought to you by meinyogalehrer.de, recorded in Yoga Vidya Westerwald Ashram in Germany on March 2013. Part 2 of 13.
We normally take ourselves to be this experiencing person. This is who Arjuna thinks he is. He thinks he's this subtle body or this experiencing entity. And in this entity, this experiencing person has desires and fears, has ideas and beliefs and opinions, has a history, has karma, and so forth and so on. And he's looking at this situation, interpreting this situation according to his conditioning, his vasanas, his values. And that's causing him, and that's looking through a filter. He's looking at reality through the filter of his own life, and that's causing this emotional problem. And Krishna's telling him, if you look at it from a point of view of awareness, there's no problem. And if you actually analyze carefully everything that's taking place in the world of objects, in the world of experience, you'll see there's no problem either, because nothing lives or dies here either. This is eternal and that's eternal. Why? Because reality is non-dual consciousness, non-dual awareness. Everything is only awareness. The changing and the changeless. This is changeless awareness, this is changing awareness. They're both just awareness. So nothing is actually going on here. It just seems to be going on. And because we're caught in that seeming reality, that apparent reality, we're suffering. We're confusing awareness with the experiencer. And moving our understanding from the point of view of the experiencer to the point of view of awareness is very difficult. Only because we've been conditioned to always think of ourselves in this way. Well, that's the only reason. It's a problem. There's no reason why you can't think of yourself as awareness, because you are awareness. But nobody ever told you that, did they? Your mom and your pop and the society and everybody around you, they never told you you were awareness, did they? They never told you you couldn't live, and you weren't living or dying, that you were eternal and unchanging. And they never told you that. They told you you're this little tiny person with all of these feelings and emotions in this body, or in a big world that's always changing. Your desires are real, your fears are real. You need to try to make your way in this life and gain success here. That's what they told you. So you believe that you're this experiencing entity, this subtle body. And Arjuna says, and Krishna says, that's not who you are. Sorry. And Arjuna is not getting it. The light is not going on in his brain. And then he explains why nothing dies here. He said, because of this thing called the unmanifest, that's here, the causal body, because of that, everything in this universe, everything in reality is made of knowledge. Okay? This is difficult. You people are quite sophisticated spiritually, so I think I can teach you this. Everything here is made of knowledge. A tree, for example, is knowledge. A tree, that sounds strange, doesn't it? Huh? No, but it's not, is it? When you think of it, a tree, where does the shape and the form and the function of the tree come from? It comes from knowledge. The knowledge of what? Of photosynthesis, the knowledge of how to convert carbon dioxide to oxygen, how to suck up water, how to move toward the light and away from the dark. All this knowledge is hidden in a tree. How to send down roots and put out branches, how to make flowers and buds. All of that is knowledge. It's hidden like in a seed. And when a tree dies, it leaves that knowledge of the tree in the seed. And if you take that seed, like an oak tree or something like that, and you grind it up, you'll never see the knowledge, will you? You can never find the knowledge. But if you leave it alone, and the temperature changes and the water changes and the conditions are right, what? That knowledge will cause a new tree to grow out of that, in that seed, and what? Manifest itself again. And when that body of that tree, the material part, dies, the knowledge remains in the seed and what? Starts another tree again. Or a dog, or a cat, or a human being, or any object, you know, in awareness, in you, is made out of knowledge. And that knowledge is hidden in this part of you called the causal body. Here is referred to as the unmanifest. It's unmanifest. That means you can't see it. But it's there. It's producing experiences for you. This is where your karma is stored, in your causal body. And all your actions that you do, refine themselves into seeds and go into the causal body, and then they produce further actions later on, just like a tree. So everything here is made out of knowledge. It's eternal. And so nothing, it actually dies. Things just continually, constantly change. That's all. If Arjuna can get this, he won't have a problem doing what he has to do. But if he can't understand this, then he's got to deal with his feelings and emotions. He's got to, we're going to see. Some people, so he said, then he says in verse 29, some people see the self as a wonder. You must be looking at Arjuna's face. Because Arjuna's thinking, what is this man talking about? This is very strange what he's saying here. Others speak of it as a wonder, and some hear of it as a wonder. You know, that's why we're all in the spiritual world, isn't it? Because we've told it's really amazing. This self, wow. You get to get that and you get the lottery. It's like, whoa, that's the big prize in this world, in the spiritual world. So wonderful, it's amazing, enlightenment, wow. He said, yet, everybody's talking about this thing, this amazing thing, this fantastic thing. He said, but, he said, even after hearing about it, people do not understand it at all. Wow. This self, the one who dwells in the bodies of all beings, is always indestructible. Therefore, you ought not to grieve for these persons, for these people. Also, if you consider this sense, now, he's going to give him another way to look at the problem. Because obviously Arjuna hasn't got it. So he's going to try to give him another argument. He's slowly coming down from this high point, right down to Arjuna's basic everyday situation. Also, if you consider this situation from the standpoint of your duty, you should not waver. Nothing is more auspicious for a warrior than a righteous war. Hey, this is, wow. You didn't solicit this war. You can do this war honestly. You can really, you can succeed here. Here's a great opportunity for you. This is your job. And look at what opportunity God has given you here. Here's a chance to like fulfill yourself in this world. Do your duty in this world. That's what we're here for, is to fulfill ourselves. Huh? To make ourselves, you know, successful here. We're all, yes.
What is duty in the world if the world is only Maya? From where does the duty come?
Well, when you take Maya to be real, then you have duty. But if you don't take it to be real, then there's no duty for you.
Our Why duty. Can you hear? You have your duties. Huh?
If you're here and you take it to be real, then you have your duties.
And if not, then
not. Yeah, if not, then not. You have no duty if you know if you're awareness. Mm. Awareness is not a doer, is it?
Yes.
Huh? He said here. He said awareness doesn't kill. He said awareness doesn't kill or be killed. It can't do anything. So if you're awareness, you can't. You don't have any duties. This is why enlightened people are lazy people. they just enjoy. Huh? There's nothing to do, but they just enjoy it because everything is fine. But if you take yourself to be real and you take Maya to be real, then somebody put you here, didn't they? You didn't come here on your own, did you?
Yeah, on my own.
Yeah, you didn't come to this life and in this body on your own.
No, no. They're my parents, yeah.
No, but your parents didn't choose to come here. How did we get here? Did you create anything?
No.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. No. One day you just appeared here, didn't you? One day this little baby body appeared in you. Didn't it? Just poof, there was a little body and you saw it. A little fat baby body. And one day that body, that old body, is just going to disappear, isn't it? You're not making it come and you're not making it go, are you? There's some power called the unmanifest here that's bringing these beings into life and taking them out of life. And while they're in life, they have a duty. They have a job. That's the duty. Everybody, every being that's here, a dog has a job. A cat has a job. A plant has a job. They have a duty. Tiger. Any animal, every plant, every insect has a duty to do. And human beings have a duty to do. You were brought here for a reason, a purpose. The unmanifest, or God, or the Creator brought you here to do a job. And Arjuna was brought here to fight. He has Rajoguna, he has this active, dynamic energy, and he's a fighter. He's meant to protect Dharma.
And the gunas put me in the duty.
That's right. The gunas are the unmanifest.
Yeah.
That's right. The gunas brought you here.
Yeah.
And the gunas are brought you here for a reason,
because
You're important to this creation. Mm-hmm. If you weren't important, you wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. And so you have to do. That's called your swadharma. Mm-hmm. Your swadharma means your duty, your own inner duty. You have to fulfill that. We have a big problem with that in our societies, because you can be anything. You don't have to worry about anything anymore. Like in Germany, you're even taken care of. They won't let you die on the streets. So you can just be as crazy and as weird and do anything you want. You can choose all kinds of funny identities, can't you? The gay transgender fag dykes.
Gay? Say it again.
Gay transgender fag dykes. These are jivas, individuals who have this identity and they do certain things.
Schwule, transsexuelle.
Fag means queer. Lesbian, yeah. The dyke means lesbian.
Okay.
So you can choose to be this. You can. We have in our societies a whole supermarket of identities. If you don't know what your duty is, you just go on the internet and you get an identity. Whatever you want, you can be. You can dress up in the clothing and act a certain way and do whatever you want. But that's not necessarily the duty that Ishwara gave you. So everybody here has got a special talent, a special knowledge that's valuable and useful for the creation. You're here to make a contribution, to add your energy, yourself, to the world. That's why you're here. So he's saying to Arjuna, let's look at it from that point of view. You're conditioned here to be a warrior. Everything is set up and you've got a great job. You're the general. You're the top guy. He said, if you look at it from that point of view, you should not waver. Nothing is more auspicious for a warrior than a righteous war. Why? Because you don't collect any karma. Because he didn't ask for the war. If he asked for the war, then he's going to get the karma from the war. But he didn't ask for the war. Duryodhana caused the war by cheating. And then all the circumstances brought the war into being, because dharma had been violated, and dharma has got to be set straight. Adharma has got to be counteracted by dharma, and Arjuna is an instrument of dharma that's going to set the society right again. He's an instrument. That's what he's meant to do. That's his job. Yeah.
But then is the duty something which I get automatically?
It's automatic.
Yeah.
But it's not automatic if your mind is too disturbed. Understand, huh? If your mind, and his mind is disturbed, you see? He's emotional. So he can't feel, or intuition you can call it. He can't intuit or feel what's right to do.
But how do I know it's my ego or my intuition?
What's that?
How can I sort it out? It's my ego or my intuition to follow.
Well, you can. The only way you can sort it out is by knowing that you're awareness. Then it's easy to sort out. But until you know that you're awareness, the person who has this problem can't sort it out on their own. That's why Arjuna has said to Krishna, "You teach me. I need teaching here. I can't figure it out."
If I don't do my duty as an individual, as jiva, I can surrender totally to Ishwara. And this is a possibility.
If you don't have any, if you have the dharma of knowing who you are, then you can just surrender to Ishwara.
Yes.
Absolutely. And of course, you can't surrender to Ishwara until you know who Ishwara is. So we have to get that clear. For us, we're going to see here. We'll see. I won't get ahead. Okay? I won't get ahead. We'll go slow. Only lucky warriors are given the opportunity to fight an unsolicited war. It's an open gate to heaven. But if you forfeit your honor and refuse to do your duty, you will incur sin. He means you'll get more emotional, you'll get agitated. A sin is an action that you do that's not in harmony with your own nature or that breaks the rules of the dharma field. That's a sin. It produces agitation. You don't feel right about yourself. You don't feel right about what you've done. Because you're not acting in harmony with who you are. You know, we often feel very inauthentic. We feel like we're phonies. We do feel that other feeling. You're not real sometimes. That's because you're not acting in harmony with your nature. And if you have problems in life and people have trouble with you, it's because you're not following your dharma. And they feel it. And they say, there's something wrong with that person. There's something that's not right. He or she is I can't out-trust them. Because you're not in touch with what you really, really are. And you're acting like you're something other than what you are. You create a false person, a persona, a personality, which you superimpose on top of yourself, who you really are. And then you become something other than who you are as a person, as Ishwara created you.
From the standpoint of Ishwara, even this wrong acting is made by Ishwara to bring you
to right action.
Liberation, to right.
That's correct. That's right. But Arjuna doesn't know that. See? You're jumping ahead because you understand. But from Arjuna's point of view, he doesn't know that. That the bad stuff is actually the good stuff. Huh? That all the problems are actually leading you to where you need to be. He doesn't see this as an opportunity, one, to fulfill himself as a person, and two, to fulfill himself as awareness. In other words, to get free of the person altogether. He doesn't see that yet. And we're going to see why he doesn't see that. He's going to explain to you why it's so hard to find out who you are. People, he said, and he's going to say now, because he knows that Arjuna is an extroverted person. He's rajasic. He's controlled by the guna of rajas. You know, how many know the word rajas? Oh, good. Everybody knows rajas. So Arjuna's,
everybody.
Huh?
Everybody.
Almost. Rajas is that energy inside you that makes you do all the time. It's just telling you to do. It's constantly bothering. It's full of desire and fear. That's rajas. Huh? It's driving us to go to act. It's a mode of desire and passion. It's motivated by fears underneath, a fear of insecurity and so forth. Makes me go for things, aggressive action. So Arjuna has that temperament. He's under that guna. We'll talk about that a little later, what that is. He said, people will speak of your undying infamy. For the honorable person, dishonor is worse than death. You'll lose your reputation. People are going to say, you're a great guy, but look at you now. You didn't do what you're supposed to do. You're not even going to protect us from this monster Duryodhana. You just want to stop. Huh? If people are not going, he's going to making a big mistake here on all levels by doing this. And it's so ironic because it's just he's just a good guy. He's sympathetic. That's all. He's got this sattva quality. Sattva means pure quality, the spiritual quality. And compassion he has, but his compassion is not intelligent compassion. It's what Chogyam Trungpa called idiot compassion. It's just sentimental. And he's let this sentimentality take over and stop him in his life. He stopped. He's stuck. Your peers, the great warriors who esteem you now, will see you as a coward. They will mock and ridicule you. They will belittle your talents and say unforgettable things. What could be more painful? Consider this. He says, think about this. If you die, you'll go to heaven. That's good. If you win, you'll enjoy the world. Why will he go to heaven? Because he's done the right thing. When you do the right thing, you go to heaven. Heaven doesn't mean heaven. Heaven means you feel right about yourself. You feel good. Because you've done the right thing, that's a heavenly state of mind. You get to enjoy a heavenly state of mind. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, you feel guilty, you feel bad, you go to hell. You become agitated and disturbed. Never mind some heaven and hell later on. We're talking heaven and hell right here. There's no other worlds to go to. There's only world here. And what we experience here. Therefore, stand up and fight. He's saying, this is a win-win situation, Arjuna. However you look about it, you come out as a winner. So just shut up, calm down, grab your bow and arrow, and let's get the war going here. We got to get this war over. This is going to happen. If these people are here and it's all set up and there's no way to stop it. And here you are twiddling your thumbs and worrying and having a spiritual crisis. This is a spiritual crisis. See pleasure and pain, gain and loss, victory and defeat in the same light, and prepare for battle. You will incur no sin. That's your duty, he's saying. As a spiritual person, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to what? Look at, have this attitude. This is the qualification for spirituality. Seeing what? Seeing pleasure and pain, gain and loss, victory and defeat in the same light, equally. In other words, seeing them as the same, and get on with your job. That's called dispassion. Do your job. If you want to win and you're afraid of losing, you're not qualified for spiritual life. See? Everybody wants to win and are afraid to lose. But a spiritual person doesn't worry about whether they win or lose or whether they gain or loss or victory or defeat. Or they're not worried about that thing. They want to know the truth. So they stand apart from these feelings that they have about getting and keeping and gaining and losing and winning and all that. They just stand apart from that. And they do what needs to be done. That's called your duty, your dharma. Your dharma is what needs to be done. Now, you're not the one that's going to decide what needs to be done. That's the interesting thing. We're going to have to... Oh, no, I'll decide what's... Well, no, you won't decide. Ishwara, or reality, will decide what needs to be done. Because Ishwara brought you here, gave you a duty to do, and put you in a circumstance that requires your response... And you better respond appropriately to what Ishwara wants from you. If you're doing Ishwara's job, duty, then your karma is clean. You don't incur a problem. But if I'm the one that decides what I want to do, then I'm going to have lots of problems. I'm going to suffer and enjoy all the results of my choices. And Ishwara's going to say, okay, you don't want to do what I want you to do? Okay, do what you want to do. Fine. Because Ishwara's not a bad guy, a bad God. Ishwara's give you free will. You're free. You can say, okay. You can say no to me, Ishwara says. You just do whatever you want to do. But if you rub against Ishwara, Ishwara is going to rub against you. And that's a little war you won't win. Because what? Because reality doesn't care what you want. It's not good news, is it? That's bad news for the ego, huh? I want what I want, when I want it, the way I want it. Give me this, that's mine, that's my right. Okay, fair enough, have that attitude. and you watch what will happen to you in this life. You will get slapped around, knocked around. You'll suffer constantly. Because Ishvara doesn't care. Reality is impersonal. It's not sitting around. You say, oh, I think I'll visualize the result that I want and attract it to me, manifest it to me. Huh? You know that story, The Secret? The people that think they're going to manifest. Hey, you can manifest all day long, but if Ishvara doesn't want it, nothing's going to manifest. If what you want is what Ishvara wants, then you'll find you got it right now. Otherwise, you're on your own. It's not nice to be on your own in this world, let me tell you. You better understand Ishvara. You better get Ishvara on your side and become a good friend and do what Ishvara wants, and then you'll be fine. And then you won't have all these emotional problems, because all these emotional problems are what? Based upon getting what I want when I want it. As I said last night, it isn't mom and pop that made the problems and gave you all this emotional trouble. It's not the federal government or the corporations or the environment. None of that's the problem. The problem is you just don't think you're getting what you want. And so you're emotional. So we've got to understand, this whole thing is like understanding as individuals where we fit into our environment, into the world, into the total. Getting it right so that we're in harmony, we're in the right place here, and we're doing what God wants us to do. And when you understand that and feel that and allow God to tell you what to do and you respond appropriately, you feel so happy. You feel so relieved. That burden of doership is gone. And you're just floating, and it feels so wonderful. You feel so satisfied, so happy. Because you realize, hey, I can relax. And Arjuna is all tense and emotional. Now, here's a funny, this is a really cool point in the text. Because in verse 39, and suddenly Krishna changes gears, shifts. He was running at high octane energy in high gear, and he's got to shift down to low gear now. Because he looks at Arjuna and he realizes Arjuna doesn't get it. Yeah? It's good Arjuna doesn't get it. You know why? If Arjuna doesn't get it, then we don't have the Bhagavad Gita, and then we don't. Then there's no solution for us, huh? So thank God Arjuna doesn't get it. He says, he's very polite though. Krishna is very polite. He doesn't tell him, you dummy, you got such a big ego. You don't get it. I'm going to bust your ego. You heard that one before from the spiritual gurus? There's no egos to bust. We don't believe in it. It's stupid. There's just something to understand. That's all. And Arjuna doesn't understand. So Krishna says, so far I have taught you the wisdom of self-knowledge. He told you, this is who you are. Your awareness. You're not this body, mind. He's explaining how reality works to Arjuna. He said, I taught you that. He said, now listen to the wisdom of yoga. This first is called Vedanta or Sankhya. In the text it's called Sankhya. Samkhya. That means self-knowledge. And then he says, now listen to the wisdom of yoga. What will this yoga do for me? Now we're not talking twisting your body like a pretzel. Okay, understand. You know, the yogis, they like to do that. Whatever. That's yoga, but that's not this yoga. And what will this yoga do for me? You want to know. Well, what will it do for me? It will free you from bondage to action. What does that mean? Bondage to action. That means when you do something and you're motivated by a desire or a fear, you do this action wanting something or being frightened of something, you collect a vasana. Now, what is a vasana? It's important to understand this word. It's a very important word. And there's no English word for it. It's just the English language doesn't know about this. So I have to explain it. A vasana is a fragrance. The actual word is a perfume or a fragrance, it means. And it means that when you do an action with a desire or a fear, a selfish motivation, it produces a seen result, an obvious result, and it produces an unseen result. It's called drishtapala and adrishtapala. The unseen result is a vasana. And what is that vasana? It's a tendency to what? To repeat that action again. Did anybody only make love once? Did you only have sex once? Did you?
No.
The answer is no. Why? If it was so good, if sex was so good, then why are you doing it again? Huh? If it's that good, why are you doing it again? It should be satisfied. You should be satisfied forever, right? Huh? You should be always satisfied. One time is enough. No. Why not? Because you got a craving
for more.
It felt so good, you want to do it again. That's called a vasana. Or a fear, a negative thing. Something bad happens. And you get an aversion vasana. So these vasanas, these tendencies, they're the tendencies that keep you what? Acting and acting over and over and over again. You know how your life gets so boring? Huh? You know, boredom? Why? Why are you bored? Why don't you just do something different every day? Come on. You want to have a nice, cool life? Just do something different every day. And you will never be bored. But what? I can't help it, can I? My vasanas are causing me to do the same thing over and over and over again. Even if I don't want to do it, I find myself doing it. Whatever it is. You name it. Everybody's vasanas are different. There's a great big pool of vasanas. They all belong to Ishwara. And a whole pool of actions associated with those vasanas. And they just keep what? Going over and over and round and round and round all the time. What? And I turn out to be what? Like a robot. You know your life when it gets like that? Like you feel like a robot. Isn't that a word in German? Robot?
Yeah, it's German.
Yeah, German word.
It's Russian.
Is it?
Yeah.
Automaton, that's another word. Automatically acting without control, without thinking. You smoke a cigarette? Huh? It's good. After a while, the cigarette smokes you. Huh? Had that happen? Mm-hmm. You eat some food? It's very nice. You eat to live, and pretty soon what? You start living to eat. Vasana has grabbed you and you're no longer in control. You find yourself what? No matter what, you say, oh, I shouldn't eat this, and then you go and eat, and then you eat another one. And pretty soon, you know, look at this. In Western societies, in America particularly, 30%, 35% of the population is obese. They're fat, huge. You probably see it in Germany too.
Yes.
Hmm? It's starting here. Maybe it's not starting, maybe it's been here a long time too. That's vasanas. All addictions, compulsions, all those types of behaviors are controlled by your vasanas. And your vasanas are your karma. Those vasanas are stored in this psychological storehouse called the causal body or the unmanifest. And they produce action. And they are, what does he say here, bondage to action. And yoga is going to, what is it going to do? It's going to free me from bondage to action. That doesn't mean it's going to keep me from acting. We're not trying to not act. We're just going to act in such a way that we act naturally and normally and respond beautifully and creatively in every situation. We don't respond habitually in a compulsive way. And yoga is going to make that possible. It's going to take this compulsive, programmed sense out of our lives and make us free and liberated in action. In this yoga, no effort is wasted. Why does he say that? Because in normal life, a lot of efforts are wasted, aren't they? And I pissed away 15 years, no, more 10, more like 10 years, more probably 15 years of my adult life. Just wasted them. I had nothing to show for it. By the time I was 25, I hit bottom. I just wasted so much effort and so much energy. And at the end of the day, I thought, what do I got? I have nothing to show for my life. It's all just wasted. It was. My life was a waste. I was an alcoholic. I was a chain smoker. I was a glutton, an adulterer. I was none too honest. And I had all kinds of, it was just a miserable person. And I just worked like ever since I was a kid, trying to get what I wanted. And wasted all those efforts. But in this yoga, no effort is wasted, nor are any unsuitable results produced. I produced lots of unsuitable results. honestly, I was like a monster. I was an awful person. You wouldn't want to meet me. Really. But in this yoga, there's no bad results. Hey, that sounds pretty good. Where do I sign up? Even very little karma yoga protects one from great fear. See what we're talking about here? Fear is driving us 24/7, huh? Fear what? Fear of not getting what I want. Without even asking whether I should want what I want. Without even asking that, I'm worried I'm not going to get what I want. You see the problem? See what we're talking about here? This is Bhagavad Gita. It's not about thousands of years ago. It's not about India or funny Sanskrit or Krishna and Arjuna. It's about us. It's about how to live here in this world, in this life. even what if now he's going to have to teach Arjuna this, because this is the solution. This is why Arjuna's not getting it, because he hasn't been doing things as karma yoga. He hasn't been living as karma yoga. He has all these vasanas that are disturbing him. And before he can understand what Krishna's going to say, he's going to have to clean up his mess. You should have, then he says now, you should have a clear understanding about the nature of liberation. Boy, you want to get a confused understanding of what liberation is? Just live in the 21st century. Just live right now. Can you imagine all the crazy notions and ideas that are out there about how to get free? Get on the internet if you have any questions. My God, and every guru's got a different story. And a different technique, and a different practice, and a different lineage, and this and that, and you do this, and you do that, and you get this, and you get that, and it's really an angels, and on and on and on and on, and just going on and on. Everybody's spewing out millions of ideas about what enlightenment is, and how to get it. And he's telling Arjuna, before you even get started in this spiritual world, let's get it clear what the hell enlightenment is. See, when I come to the spiritual life, I'm suffering. That's the only reason I'm here. If you had a good life out there in the world, you wouldn't be interested in this. Just face it. That's the truth. The people out there, they're not interested in this because either they're very stupid and they take the world to be real, or they're happy there. They don't come. Well, we're not happy there. We're a special kind of people. We understand that there's nothing really there. And we still want it, but we don't want it. And we've got, And so we're confused. We're not sure that we want this spiritual thing either, but we don't. Pretty sure we don't want that, so we're kind of in an in-between world. And when you're confused and uncertain about what things are, then you'll just believe anybody that tells you anything. Any fancy person that comes along and, I've got just the deal for you. Sign up with me right now, and instant enlightenment is yours. 3 days in a sweat lodge, and drink some ayahuasca, and we'll pervert. Isn't it? Oh, they're all selling it, right and left. And as you've been in the spiritual world for a few years, you're more confused than when you were in the worldly world. Isn't it? Yeah. Definitely. So he says, let's get it clear what's going on. We're going to tell you what enlightenment is. So at least when, you know, the Buddhists say, oh, enlightenment, don't worry about it, just sit, and it will happen. Hey, you can sit for 10,000 years, and nothing will happen. They say, oh, it will just happen. They don't even tell you what it is. But we tell you what it is right now. We get it clear right from the beginning what enlightenment is. So you've got something to work with. And we're going to tell you how to get enlightened too. That's the beauty of Vedanta. It's going to tell you how to do it, but let's find out first what it is. Those who lack discrimination entertain many erroneous notions, full of desire, and believing nothing is better, non-discriminating people engross themselves in rituals for the purpose of gaining pleasure, power, or have anything. In other words, you just do rituals means you just do things to get what? Pleasure, power, fame, security, whatever it is, whatever you want. They utter flowery words concerning various practices, Oh, Kundalini. Get your Kundalini up. Come on. Come to Kundalini seminar. We'll get it and it will wiggle up your spine and have a big cosmic orgasm when it passes out. And Shakti and Shiva will have sex in the transcendental world and you'll be free. Oh, flowery. What a wonderful, oh, Kundalini. That's so sexy. It's so mystical. It's just so powerful. You know, oh, okay, good. Yeah, sign me up. I'm ready. Not even understanding people, because everybody talks all this wonderful stuff. I'm just satirizing myself, because I did all this. Okay? I don't know about you. I know you're all probably very level-headed people and never fell for any of those stupid ideas, but I did. And I was really kind of embarrassed to tell you the stupid, foolish things I did trying to get enlightened because I had no idea what enlightenment was. Just didn't know. Because those seeking pleasure and power are easily led astray by the promises of ritual activities, discrimination does not make place. And what is this discrimination he's talking about? He's saying there's discriminating people and undiscriminating people. And discrimination simply means what? Knowing the difference between awareness and the objects appearing in awareness. That's all discrimination is. Very simple. It's nothing big. It's not complicated. Just separating me, which is eternal and unchanging awareness, from the objects that appearing in me. Objects here means all my experiences. That's all. Very simple. Undiscriminating people don't do that. They don't know there is a self. They don't know they are the self. They use all of their intellectual power to solve problems here through action. This is what he means by ritual activities. They just do programmed ritual activities over and over and over again to get objects here in this samsara, in this part of reality. But a discriminating person is one who separates himself from samsara, from the objects appearing in them. How are we doing?
Very fine, I'm just a bit tired.
shall we go for another 20
yes.
minutes?
Yes. Huh? Can I ask you one question?
Yeah.
Which I think about a lot. When you say there's only this one awareness, this experience of oneness, or that Brahman, you're the ocean, like the wave.
Yeah.
But how comes that the same awareness controls your body and my body, and also when I understand that I am awareness, but the center of the awareness is in my head, and I don't experience it from your head.
Oh, that's
or
because
heart or
well, know that you will only experience it because your point of view is the body.
So if I go beyond,
if you look at it from awareness's point of view, then you don't experience this as different or separate from this.
Yeah, but I control this body, and then I go
I mean too. I mean, oh, that's a good one. I mean too. Ishwara controls this body. No, I don't control this body, and you don't control that body. And awareness doesn't control this body, and awareness doesn't control that body either. We're going to get this clear. This is a big issue here. Ishwara controls your body and my body. Now, who is this Ishwara? Huh? See, because from awareness's point of view, there's no bodies to control, is there? There's only awareness. So there's no bodies in awareness. So there's no control operating there. So how does this non-dual awareness become bodies? How does it appear here as different bodies that seem to be in control of their life? How does it do that? Well, that's what Ishwara is. Ishwara is called Maya. And Maya, what, generates these three bodies. And you have exactly the same three bodies that I have. There's no, see there, there's not a lot, there's not, there are not a bunch of individuals here. There's only one individual. There's only one awareness and one, and three bodies. And those three, and each individual has only the same awareness and the same three bodies. And those bodies are controlled and regulated and governed by Ishwara, by Maya. Not by Jiva.
Yeah, and it's inside of my upadis, that
identifying with the upadi makes it look like you're there and I'm here. The difference belongs to the upadi, not to awareness. And not to Ishwara either. Although the upadi is there because of Ishwara. Maya puts, yes. Did I get it clear?
Yes. No? Yeah, clearer, much clearer.
No, see, the tendency is to always look at reality from this point of view. And then, then it seems like I'm separate from you. Doesn't it? But when we do analysis, in other words, when we investigate clear, carefully, we can't find any difference. Now, what's the difference between your body and my body?
Looks different.
That's all. But even the look, well, you've got all the things that bodies have. I have all the things that bodies have. It's made of five elements. It's food.
And you made much different experience.
Apparently, but is my experience unique? Am I the only person that had these kind of experiences? No. Millions of people have the kind of experiences I have. Millions of people have the same kind of experiences you have. This is why we have astrology and Enneagram and all these things, and why we have science. Science explains what is common to all our experience. If everybody was totally unique, there'd be no science, there'd be no way to heal anybody, or help anybody, or manipulate or change anything in this reality. But in fact, everything here is totally impersonal. It's totally, run totally on the basis of laws and rules. You have intellect, mind, and ego. I have intellect, mind, and ego. You have 10 senses. I have 10 senses.
Yeah.
We live in a material world. It's all the same elements here.
So again, it's the easy point that as long as I'm identified with the upadis,
then
I feel I'm separate and individual.
That's correct. And your awareness is the one that is knows the upadi, knows the body.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. It's very simple. Awareness is so simple that we can't, we just dismiss it because we've, as Krishna says here, we have all these funny notions, ideas about what awareness is and what enlightenment is. It is so very simple that we just completely dismiss it. So no, it can't be like that. In the eighth chapter, you're going to see, it's called The Royal Secret. What? He says, you know, if you have something that's very valuable, then you don't leave it just sitting around. If I have a big diamond, like I have a diamond, I won't, and when I leave the satsang, I won't leave it here, will I? Because when I come back, it won't be there, will it? Because it's very valuable. Huh? But the self is so valuable, is 10 times more valuable than any diamond or anything. There's nothing more valuable to you than yourself. And you can leave that sitting right around in plain sight, and nobody will even know what it is. It's the most valuable thing there is, and you can just put it everywhere because it is everywhere. It's always present. And what? I don't even look at it. I walk right on by it because I think it's something else. I think it's somewhere else. I don't think it's me. Yes.
So the Jiva and Ishvara is actually just an apparent projection in me, awareness.
That's correct.
But the self, the awareness, doesn't project. So it's an apparent projection just to show that the self is limitless. Well, what is the reason for this?
From what point of view are you talking? Well, for the Jiva's point of view, then you have to assume that the purpose of this projection is to teach the Jiva that it's awareness. Huh? But there's no purpose to this life.
Oof. And actually no projection.
There's actually no projection, and there's actually no purpose for being here. Oh, that's terrible, isn't it? Huh? Because if there's no reason for us to be here, now think about this. If there's no reason for you to be here, then what are you going to do? You're going to enjoy being. We think we're here to enjoy. So we're here to do things so we can enjoy. Because we believe there's a purpose. And we think the purpose of life is what? To enjoy the results of our actions. That's what he says here. This yoga is going to what? Remove the bondage to action, to this need to act, to enjoy, but by teaching us that you're the joy. I'm the joy. I'm the source of the joy. I don't have to do anything to be me, do I? What do I have to do to be me? Huh? I can do things to get something I don't have. I can do things to get rid of something I do have. I can do things to change something that I do have. But what can I do to get me? Zero. Why? Because I am me. The joy, the bliss that I'm looking for, it as a result of my action, is only coming from me. I think the joy is coming from the object. I believe that the object is supplying me with the joy. Everybody makes that mistake. That's why you chase objects. You think there's happiness in the object. So out you go, running, 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 get, I want to get, bring it home, enjoy. There is no joy in the objects because this is all a projection. It's like a movie. A hologram, it's just projected in time and space. All those objects that are out there are not actually out there to be gained or to be enjoyed. Reality's flat. It's not three-dimensional. There's no time. There's no separation between me and the objects. The objects are just appearances in me. And the joy that I think is in the object is actually my own happiness, my own joy. But I don't know that. And when I get the object, what happens? The desire for the object goes. When you get what you want, you don't desire it anymore, right? That's right, you don't desire it. And when the desire goes, the joy that is me fills my mind with happiness. But what do? I think the joy is coming from the object, because the object is here now. And I fall in love with you. And I'm not ever in love with you, because there's no you. I'm always only in love with me. But you make me feel the love that I am. Why? Because the fantasy I have for you goes when you appear. So here's my fantasy, I want. You appear, my fantasy disappears, and my joy, my happiness, my love comes out, and I project my love on you, and I say, oh, you're making me happy. But there's no you out there making me happy. I'm making me happy without even trying. So there's nothing I can do to get me. All I can do is know who I am.
So even for people who are caught in suffering of objects, it's just about recognizing that's what you mean.
Yeah. Now, all the suffering should, what we're going to teach, not to teach it, is that all of that suffering points to you. It doesn't point, huh? That all the objects are actually, when you have the right understanding, reveal awareness. All of the experiences are pointing to awareness, to pointing to who you are. But you need to understand things carefully so that you can read your experiences in such a way that all of your experiences point you back to yourself and make you aware of awareness. This is what Karma Yoga does.
Can you give an example of this? Suffering?
Any suffering. Well, when you're suffering, what does it make you do?
I don't want. This is the first reaction.
First reaction is, I don't want the suffering.
Yeah.
And then what? Then what's the next? What do you do next? Why don't I want? Or no, probably not. Then you think, I want something else. Huh? No, I don't want this object. Why don't I want this object? Because I believe that this object, what, has happiness in it, or unhappiness in it. Does the unhappiness belong to the object? No. Huh? It doesn't, does it? Because if the unhappiness belonged to the object, then, like, I'm an alcoholic. So when I get a bottle, I'm happy. When I drink a bottle of beer, I'm happy. But if you drink a bottle of beer, you're unhappy, right? Because you're spiritual and you don't have those vasanas. Which means what? The happiness and the unhappiness wasn't in the object at all, was it? It was in me. So simply by what? Looking, huh? Thinking clearly, I can see that the joy, the happiness, and the unhappiness belongs here with me. Now I can start to sort out who I am. The next step is, how do I know that? Because I'm aware. What does that mean? If I'm aware that I'm unhappy, am I unhappy?
No.
No. Huh? You understand? If you're aware that you're unhappy, are you unhappy? No. Why not?
I'm the seer of the unhappiness.
Yeah, because the unhappiness is an object. That means it can't be me, can it? Huh? If you see something, it can't be you, can it? Not possible. The subject is always free of the object. So if I see unhappiness, then that means I'm not unhappy. I mean, unhappiness is appearing in me. Unhappiness is presenting itself to me. But it can't be me. So what? So the unhappiness has just taught me who I am. If you think right, every single situation in life will point to who you are. If you don't think properly, if you can't investigate properly, and Vedanta is just investigation, it's called inquiry, it's making an inquiry, then you can't solve these problems. Yes?
The theory I can get, but to where or to what is this unhappiness then pointing to? You said the unhappiness is just pointing to what I am. So
The unhappiness is pointing to my likes and dislikes. And we're going to see now that karma yoga is going to remove my likes and dislikes.
Because I'm not these likes and dislikes.
That's right. Well, but if you know that, then you're a sannyasi and you don't need to worry about karma yoga.
I don't know. I kind of understand it.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah. I think after a few days you'll get it clear, because this is a big topic. And if you can get clear on this, you'll be really happy. Seriously. But yeah, the unhappiness points to my likes and dislikes. I am what my vasanas. That's what's causing the unhappiness.
But isn't it going to point beyond happiness and unhappiness?
Well, sure, but that it does for a particular kind of person, but for Arjuna it doesn't. Because Arjuna can't see what his vasanas are, and he can't go beyond them. So he's got to understand karma yoga and practice karma yoga till he gets to the point where it's clear. Because karma yoga is going to turn an active person into a contemplative person. It's going to turn a karmi into a sannyasi. Sannyasi means a renunciate, a mature person. Arjuna's not mature, he's not grown up yet. He's physically mature, but he's not spiritually mature, because he's like a child. He's like still driven by his likes and his dislikes. We're all like children in this world. You may have an old body and been around and all this. Most of us are just like children. We have our likes and our dislikes, and those likes and dislikes start when you're a child. And when you don't get what you want, you go, if you don't, then after a while you get tired of crying, then you get depressed and sad. And that, we're just exactly like that. Because what? Our likes and our dislikes are producing the suffering. Attachment to getting the results of actions that are based upon my likes and dislikes is producing the suffering. And by practicing karma yoga, I neutralize my likes and dislikes. Then my mind is not emotional anymore. When my mind is not emotional, all this makes perfect sense. Then you're ready for teaching. Then you can be taught. The people who are qualified, who are mature, this Vedanta sets them free in no time. 6 months, a year, sometimes a few weeks, because they're already clear, and they're dispassionate. That is, they're not pushed around by their likes and dislikes. But Arjuna has got this strong sympathy. He's a spiritual type. He's got too much compassion. He cares too much. He's too sentimental. And that's produced this big emotional reaction. And so he's not capable. And all that karma yoga is doing is, and karma yoga is a practice, but it's just knowledge. You have to take a lot of time on this topic. Huh? If you get this, I tell you, your life will totally be transformed. So we have to take a lot of time so you really understand it. And the first five chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, chapters 2, 3, 4, and 5, are all about karma yoga. Before we even get to meditation and the spiritual topics, we have to deal with karma yoga. Because that spiritual stuff will not work until I'm making my life my spiritual practice. And you do that with the karma yoga and the karma yoga attitude.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Vedanta, yoga and self-inquiry, visit shiningworld.com, yogavidya.de or meinyogalehrer.de.